Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And it's your man, CG.
And today we have special guest Ryan Singer with us over Zoom.
Hey, yeah. I like being special. I like being a special guest. That's nice.
And you're a comedian and a paranormal investigator, correct?
Correct. I've been doing stand-up comedy for over 20 years, and I've been doing the paranormal stuff for probably over a decade now. Is okay. When I started my podcast, and then which led to, I mean, it started off as just kind of a quest for information and things like that, which then very quickly led to field investigations and things like that. Yeah.
And so you do the ghost hunts, Ryan. You do the, you go to places, and then in the middle of the night, you do the blackout, you got the EVPs, you got the, you do all that.
Yeah, I find that some of the best evidence I've ever captured is during the daytime, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, a lot of people think that it has to, I mean, it's good TV, I suppose, when it's totally, you know, it's scarier or whatever, but some of the best evidence I've ever gotten, and a lot of my friends have ever gotten, have come in the daytime. I mean, cause ghosts don't, I guess, sleep. Right. So, it doesn't really matter what time you're trying to contact them.
Oh, I always thought they did it for a reason, because I always watch Ghost Hunters and stuff like that. I always thought that it had to be for some reason, not just it's spooky.
Well, there is a practical reason,
that's
I
the
suppose.
One thing,
yeah.
Making sure I could never do it, because I'd be scared to death. After 10, I'm scared of
well,
everything.
After yeah, 10, well, after 10 o'clock, that's when like your courage turns into a cowardly pie, and the your pumpkin turns into pie. Well, there is less ambient noise during nighttime. I mean, during the daytime, the hustle and bustle of the world is outside. So there's, you're more likely to have someone in a delivery truck or construction happening next door. So there is a practical reason to do the investigations at night, because there's less outside interference when it comes to, you know, the environmental noise. But I have found, depending on the location, if you're not really around any of that stuff, if it's pretty remote, I mean, daytime is just as good, and sometimes even better, I feel like.
What initially led you into the paranormal world?
Well, I was always fascinated by, you know, the stories of ghosts. I mean, I was raised Catholic in a very Catholic family, and my grandmother was into, we called her grandma, at least I called her Grandma Jesus, right? Because she was hardcore Catholic. I mean, she took like a pilgrimage to like Medjugorje, you know, because the Virgin Mary was visiting people over there. She always had these books about prophecies that were unfolding. I always thought the end times were coming. So I had a very supernatural, mystical blueprint that, like, you know, the supernatural is occurring all around us. Miracles are occurring, things like that. You know, just another, it's just a religious word for paranormal, I suppose. So I always
my family,
had that.
By the way, was constantly in the end times. So I get where you're coming
from. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. It's
end times are everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere you look, it's like, you know, the world has like a going out of business. You know, when you see those furniture stores, what's like the going out of business sale? I feel like when you get into like the, you know, the hardcore components of any religious sect, it's always the going out of business sect, right? You know, Earth is going out of business. But the, you know, so I had that blueprint, and then I started having experiences, and I always loved stories, right? And if you, and I think, like, for me, Jesus is probably the most famous ghost story of all time. You know, and then you, I get a little older and I learn about the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is, you know, allegedly the oldest, you know, written story we've ever found. And it's a ghost story. And there's also a shapeshifter in there, which would play into my life later on, because I dated a woman who had like unexplainable supernatural phenomena that occurred to her, or that she would do, even though she would describe it as being done to her. So between, you know, so, and then, and since then I've had just experience after experience, I guess, when I go and kind of look back through it all, I'm kind of like, oh, wow, there's been a lot. But, you know, like I definitely had a communication from my grandfather when he died, through the radio in my car.
Oh, wow.
Or it wasn't even the radio in my car, really. I don't know if you've ever, I don't know. I've got all kinds of wild theories that have no scientific basis, right?
I'm full of those. I'm full of those.
And so I knew that's why we got along so well from the back. Like, like one of my theories is, and it's probably, it's not even my theory probably, but you know how like I have my grandfather's DNA inside my body, right? That's just science. So when his physical form dies, I feel it in my body because it's my body dying. A part, an extension, a limb of my body, my physical form is no longer, you know, electrified by the spirit, the soul, whatever, the consciousness, whatever. So I feel like it's like losing a part of yourself quite literally. And I was doing a show at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank, and my set was kind of early in the night, and I knew my grandfather was sick. That's an important part. Like I knew he was kind of getting close. And I'm usually a guy who I love to hang. I mean, for me, there's nothing better than a comedy hang. Like you do the show and then you just hang out with comedians all night, or go to another show or go to a diner and just hang out and talk until 3 a.m. drinking coffee at a cheap diner. I love that. That's just like, that's heaven on earth to me. But on this particular night, I get off stage and I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I need to leave. Like I need to get out of here. So I leave the club, which is uncharacteristic for me to not hang out. I get in my car and I'm driving back to my apartment. And after about 5 minutes, I'm at a stoplight and the radio is playing. And I just kind of like, I turn the music off. I'm like, what's going on? And then I'm like, something's weird. And then I'm like, oh my God, my grandpa. And then that moment I receive a text message from my mom, and it was pretty late. And my mom's, you know, East Coast time. And so I'm West Coast. So it's probably like close to midnight. East Coast time, I get a text from my mom, which is unusual. And it just says, you know, Lieutenant Colonel Lester J. Clark has passed from this physical realm to the spiritual, or something along those lines. Right. And it was in the moment of me being like, oh, my grandpa's gone. And then ding, text message. Right. So whether it was him communicating with me on purpose or just by the fact that we are physically connected and also, you know, emotionally and spiritually connected and through love. And, you know, cause I love my grandpa and I always felt like I was like a miniature version of him because he had like a silver afro till the day he died. Right. And so I'd always take all these photos whenever I went and visited on his farm in Ohio to try to have like side-by-side photos of like, this is what I'm gonna look like in, you know, 40, 50 years or whatever. Right. And you know, those age apps where you can put a photo in and you look just like, yeah, you're going to look in 40 years or whatever. I did an age app, or someone took a photo of me and put it in the age app and they sent me the photo. And I swear to God, like a side-by-side comparison of that photo with my grandpa, a photo I have of him, is you would think we were twins. It was just boggling. But I always loved that because he's the guy who turned me on to, you know, I remember being a kid, he made a film with his buddy. They called themselves the Alligator Hunters or something, right? Because they had this farm and a creek on the farm. And so they're like spoofing. I think they're spoofing the Crocodile Hunter, right? And it's the first time I'd ever seen anyone make a movie on like a home camera, just like edit it together somehow or whatever. And I think they even had like a miniature outline and a script for it. I remember just being a kid, just being like, oh, wow, my grandpa just made a movie. Like, oh, I could make movies maybe. And so, I mean, he was very influential in my life, as if we're lucky, our grandparents are.
That's fantastic. Do you ever, you know, to the current day, have communication with him from the other side?
You know, that's a good question. I've been told before that my grandfather was standing behind me by a psychic or two. Now, which grandfather is the question?
Could be both as well.
Yeah, could be both. And, but I've tried actually. Well, yeah, I guess I have tried. I have specifically tried on at least one occasion during a paranormal investigation. Okay. And cause I remember telling that story earlier in the night, it was at a comedy club in Illinois that's haunted. Mm. And so after the shows, there'll be some like local ghost hunters will usually come to the show. And then afterwards, after everybody clears out, we'll get some food and then we investigate till about 3 a.m. or whatever. And I tried to do that night. And I don't remember getting anything because on stage in that comedy club, I had a very wild experience with him because there was a piano on stage, one of those electric old school, like wooden, big, like almost like a mini organ piano. but it's electric, so you have to plug it in or it doesn't work. And so it was just an antique, and this thing didn't work, and it was just on the stage for decoration. And I said something about my grandpa, because I think it was soon after he had passed, and I just mentioned him. I have a joke about him, how he bought me life insurance for Christmas, and I didn't realize I had life insurance until he told me that I had life. And I was like, well, that seems, he's like, oh yeah, I've been, you know, paying for your life insurance for a long time now. It's your Christmas gift. And I was like, that doesn't sound like a gift, you know, like, like by definition, a gift is something I get to use when I'm alive, not something you get to use when I'm dead. You know what I mean? It's like, he didn't give me a gift. He put a bounty on my head, you know, like who gets the money when I'm dead? And I need to start being a little more suspicious of some of these, you know, suggestions that my family members are making. Like, hey, why don't you go snowboarding without a helmet after you drink a bunch of beer? It's like, what are you trying to do to me over here? So I think I told that joke, and I was like, you know, he just died, I think, because I mentioned something to that effect. And then I'm like, you know, I wonder if he's here. And I'm just making a joke. And then all of a sudden the piano goes off. Dun, dun, or whatever. And I'm just like, did you hear that? And everybody's like, what happened? And Chris goes, that piano, he's the club owner, he's also a comic, he's like, that piano doesn't work, it's not plugged in. And we're all just like, what the
fuck? Oh, so this happened for everybody, it didn't just happen for you.
Yeah, this happened on, yeah, during the during a performance.
That's awesome. Yeah, I feel pretty, like, those things wild. Happen often if you have the perspective to catch it, but it's hard for us to always, in this material world the way we are, hold on to that knowledge of the magic, because we experience that stuff a lot. But still, when you have to go through the mundane, and I don't know how much mundane you have to go through, but you know, it's easy to forget that things like that have happened often, so we are always connected to the other side, because life here is hard.
Now, I do want to say, I've never heard anyone who bought life insurance as a gift for anyone else before. I've heard of, like, you know, they donate to a charity for, you know, they're like, oh no, you know, we named a star after you, whatever weird things where you're not really getting much of a gift. But that one, that one's crazy, man. I like that.
Yeah, it's
such a grandpa gift.
It's such a grandpa gift.
People,
it's
are like, thinking about, yeah, when we're not really, you know, you don't really know yet.
Yeah. It's like all those people, like all those, like, children that he doesn't have need to be taken care of after he's dead. It's like, but it's also, I guess it's one of those things where it's an investment, I suppose. I guess these things accrue value or something. I don't know. And then you can cash them out. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, I do experience a lot of the mundane, by the way, okay, too. And I mean, I forgot about that piano story until just now. I haven't told that story in a while.
You got to write it down just to keep it, because that's such a clear, crisp example of the other side communicating when you actually in that moment asked. So I think those, you know, if you don't write it down, just mark it, because it sounds to me, and I can feel, I have some medium ability. So I can feel, you know, certain presence, but it doesn't surprise me. You're a connected person. You're going to have beings around you. And I need to bring this up, because do you know about the solar flare stuff going on? Have you heard about this?
Well, I have this friend who has a TikTok account, and she's always...
That's where I get a lot of my news.
That's where all our news come from. But Kim looks at TikTok, and she shows me the TikToks. And then we bring it to the...
On TikTok first. I'm telling you, I always then Google it and see if it's in regular news sources, which sometimes it's not. It doesn't mean it's not real. However, like, you know, even if you can't find, you know, like CNN backing,
we're all
it,
all about responsibility.
But
we
I did research this because I've been feeling the solar flares. I'm very sensitive, connected to the other side, and I just felt heat, and like, we were also sick, but like, I just felt something. And then I was seeing, you know, there are all these videos on TikTok popping up of UFOs, extraterrestrial or interdimensional beings. And I'm bringing up the solar flares because what I've read is that spiritually, it's bringing up volatile energy for us to work with. Mm. I think it was even, I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, Sadhguru, who's saying you can use this kind of energy to either rise or fall, you know, and those who are awakened and realize there are forces like that can work with it. But I was really feeling it. And then I saw some comments too of like, oh, there are more interdimensional sightings that are going to be happening because the frequency on Earth will be shifting too because of these flares. And I just think that's kind of exciting. I would love to go and search for all different kinds of beings, but not in a way that puts them at risk. You know what I mean? Like, I would never want to go in and find, for example, Bigfoot, because we do have a Bigfoot guest coming on, but I would never want, or goblins or wherever. I would never want to like show the world that for them to then be attacked.
Descend upon it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I do think it's interesting with this interdimensional shift going on, and I feel it.
Well, I don't know. For me, it's hard to explain. I try to get, deeper and more in touch with my intuition and, you know, my inherent abilities that I think we all have, as I journey. And then sometimes I have a month long period where I'm doing nothing but eating peanut butter M&Ms. And I feel like, oh, I've just built a whole wall around all of my, my pineal gland is wondering what did you do to me? Right. But, with all this sugar. And I don't know. I'm in a process right now of doing like a detox kind of situation as I get ready to go on another investigation here in a couple of weeks.
You physically prepare for it? Then does that make you more open somehow?
Yeah, depending on like the scope of the investigation. Yeah. And this particular place is a location where 4 years ago in 2019, I had a very traumatizing experience during an investigation. To where I sought therapy and still talk to a therapist on a weekly basis due to the experience I had there. I tell people, I was like, you know, I always needed a therapist. It just took Bigfoot to get me through the door, you know? But I owe Bigfoot a lot.
And you're just about to go back to this same place?
So we're going to go back for about a week and 2 weeks. Now, over the last 4 years, I've done a lot of work to be able to be in a place where I can do that. About 2 or 3 months ago, I was there for about a week just by myself with a couple who lives there. We weren't doing investigating. That's another project I'm working on, trying to help her write a book about her life story, because she's an incredible, fascinating person that is inspiring. And it's just, both of them are the most lovable people you've ever met in your life. And what's happening on their property and in their home is extraordinary, and it's, you know, without explanation. At least.
And is it near Ohio?
No, it's not. It's in Florida.
Oh. Okay.
So I am doing, and the first time I went down there in 2019, I did like a month long kind of, I wasn't like strict, like so strict, like there hasn't been a drop of caffeine in my body in 30 days or, you know, something like that. But so I'm doing 2 weeks this time. And so it's about 2 weeks from tomorrow where when I'll arrive at the property. So I'm going to be going vegetarian. I'll be going sugar-free to the best of my ability. And I'm going to wean myself off caffeine in the meantime, although I'm going to need caffeine while I'm there just because we're going to be doing long hours for a week straight. And I feel like that's really going to get my intuition antenna, you know, fully extended.
Now, is this like personal? Are these personal things to you where you can feel that if you're not eating sugars and you're not eating caffeine, then you can feel things more? Or is this from books or literature?
I think it's a combination. Just from years ago, being really into like the idea of decalcifying my pineal gland and, you know, the third eye. And I got really fascinated with that and all the pine cone, pine cones show up and all this ancient architecture and, you know, it represented the pineal gland to the ancients and how it was like a centerpiece of, you know, focus and much of the artwork.
I totally feel like once in a while I can, you know, depending on my diet or whatever at the time, I'm more connected and the veil's thinner to me for some reason, but I never put it together that you could kind of make it that way. Purpose yourself to thin the veil.
Well, it's my contention that you can. Or it's my contention that I can. I can't speak for other people's experiences because of, you know, other physical things as they may be experiencing, whether it's illness or autoimmune disorder. Although, you know, I don't have, I'm very lucky. I don't have an autoimmune disorder, but it is, you know, to me, it's very clear the connection between people who suffer autoimmune disorders or other seriously debilitating illnesses or diseases, and a connection to mediumship, clairvoyance, et cetera. They find themselves compelled to be healers or to be information givers to other people. And I think it's a, I don't have the explanation for it necessarily, other than, you know, they have suffered so much in silence, oftentimes, that they have just, they have like, their empathy well is the ocean.
I can relate to it. I mean, yeah. I have Lyme disease, which has, I guess, become fibromyalgia because it fried my system, but it has been so linked to my spiritual journey and my awakening and my abilities, because it's alive in my system and it has intelligence and knowledge. Well, that's the same thing, but it just, like, if I go against my soul or my limitations, it will quickly put me in a headlock like no other. It almost looks like I'm crazy because I can feel the pain, but it's not like you see it, that someone else can see it, but it will completely stop me in my tracks if it wants to. Lyme disease, but it's also so linked to my sensitivities. For me, it's like God and goddess having me in a headlock. But I agree. Wow. I think it's also what led me to be a healer and to even experience what I experienced years ago after a car accident, a near-death experience. But yeah, I would agree completely. Just because there's so much pain also on the earth and with all the beings, plants, animals, interdimensional beings, whatever beings are here, it's filled with suffering. So if you're connected, you're supposed to feel it. And if you call yourself a healer, I don't think you could be if you weren't aware of the situation here on earth anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, there's a couple of different things you mentioned there that I'd love to get into. I mean, I know I'm the guest, so I'm not going to, you know, try to come and do this, but the first is there's multiple friends of mine who have suffered from Lyme disease. And one of them comes to mind, Abigail Moss. I don't know if you know Abigail Moss.
The name sounds very familiar.
But I'd love for you to be connected with her.
Thank you.
She, from, you know, her journey through Lyme, as, you know, anyway. And then I have another friend who's also, you know, currently just in like the throes of it.
Okay.
And it's just awful. But it's one of the things I, like, because I was driving earlier this summer, I was in Ohio and I was driving to a baseball card shop because I have a problem and or I can't not buy baseball cards for some reason.
And, that is interesting.
Yeah. And I felt something on my leg. And so I itched my leg real quick and I got out of the car and I realized it was a tick. And I freaked out in a way that you would have thought there was a dragon in my car, because just understanding what Lyme does and how it affects people. And I would rather see anything else than a tick on my body at this point. But what you mentioned about the earth too, and the suffering of the earth and the plants, you know, I just immediately had this imagery of, you know, of factory farming, of the pollution in the ocean, and then the wars between people over meaningless differences, you know, that are constant, that are unfolding right now, that are just tragic and heartbreaking. And then you throw on top of that the connectivity of the digital era and technology, to where we're just not programmed, or we haven't evolved spiritually or emotionally enough, I don't think, to be able to process global pain. We went straight from village to the whole world. So now every single day there's a natural disaster. There's thousands of people's deaths we're aware of, as opposed to, you know, maybe a couple times a year, something bad happened in our village because of a storm. And then maybe 5 or 7, 10 people died that whole year. And now we're just thousands of people every single day, children being killed by bombs. You know, it's like, how can we handle this? And we can't, and it fries us. And I think collectively you see that around where, you know, people are losing grip of their empathy to a certain degree, maybe myself included, when we don't unplug from the overload of destruction and death and despair. that is just so prevalent around us. And, you know, because when we're scared, we buy shit. So, I mean, that's a thing that happens. You know, it's like either make them want to have sex and they'll buy something, or make them scared to death and they'll buy something. Right. So it's like, you know, it's just like, okay, where's the middle ground? But you know, there are people out there actively, and I think more and more people every single day, you know, I don't necessarily love the word awakening. You know, cause I think over the years, maybe the context of that word has become,
a lot of people took it and then made it into woke culture. And then now it sounds phony.
Yeah.
I know when I was having my awakening and that hadn't taken over, it described it for me. Cause I felt like I didn't know yet what consciousness really was, or my third eye, or that reality is way more multifaceted than I could imagine, in a beautiful way, because I had been Jewish atheist and then agnostic and then boom, spiritual and connecting to aliens. Like, I kind of got blown open. So, you know, I was scared. Am I crazy? What's going on? But I don't know. I feel like I did feel like I was awakened into something, and you can call it, because a lot of people don't like the word spiritual anymore. So to me, whatever, you know, as long as the word can kind of somewhat encompass the feeling of what the thing actually is. But
yeah, what is it about us as a group collectively, as these animals, that we just get tired of a word or something, right? It, you know, over time, like the connotation changes and goes negative. Like back in the day, lawyer used to be, you know, if you said lawyer, everyone was like, oh, a lawyer. Oh, wow. But now, and then, you know, in the late 90s, it became like lawyer, like, lawyer, you know what I mean? There's a term for what happens to a word, and I cannot remember it. But I used to know when it goes from like a good connotation to a bad, but, anyway, I still don't know what consciousness is. And, you know, what blows my mind is that scientists have no idea what consciousness is either. And, you know, even though I have no idea what it is, and, you know, at least on in a materialistic kind of way, I do feel like I understand it, in a way, at least in a functionary way, if that's even a word. Like, I believe I've come to this place in my life now, 47, where I'm like, oh, okay, I'm kind of an idealist, I guess. I believe that everything's consciousness, and that the foundation of the world is consciousness. And then the material world is built on top of that, as opposed to the materialistic view, which is that the world is fundamentally material, like physical, and then consciousness somehow magically, as far as scientists are concerned, they still don't know where it just sprung from. And so I don't think it sprung from anything necessarily. I think it's the thing that sprung everything else. And so I feel connected to people. I feel connected to the earth. I feel connected to people I don't know. I feel connected to trees, you know, and it's nice to feel connected to trees without having to do mushrooms. But like, I don't know what it means, and it doesn't mean that I'm still not, you know, an asshole sometimes, or, you know, selfish regularly, or, you know, make big mistakes, because I do. But I do believe that all paranormal phenomena is connected through consciousness. And so when I think of Bigfoot, and I think of aliens, and I think of ghosts, or, you know, I even think portals are sentient. I don't have any reason scientifically to tell you that that's a thing that's real, other than it's just a sense I have that portals have intelligence, and they might be their own thing. You know, kind of like these.
Yeah, I never heard that before. I like it.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, cause I've heard stories of, I mean, this location that I'm going to in 2 weeks allegedly has two portals on it. And one of them was there naturally, apparently.
Oh, I hope I get to go. I hope we can go to this one day. I really do. I mean,
it's a
I'll
really
probably get abducted
place.
By everything I go.
I'm totally getting abducted.
I'm totally getting abducted, but I'm so bored, you know, not chasing this stuff. And it's been like, I guess about, yeah, like 12 years since my consciousness shifted after the car accident. And
oh, God, that reminds me. Okay. Remind me. I want to talk to you about that.
Yeah. So I just, I've felt the call and the pull of these things, but I think it's also connected to our journey as humans. And like, what fascinates us about the paranormal is because we're paranormal and we're so odd. I know I'm odd. My spiritual journey has led me to being like, oh, I'm fucking weird, you know, and I've got the light and the dark. And when I entered my journey, I thought it was going to take me to just be the most calm person by a river. And then I started rapping at one point and I was like, oh, I didn't know that was coming out, you know? And, but I think it's about learning that we're weird in a beautiful way. You might have a different word for it, but we're complicated. And I think we're fascinated with paranormal because it's what we also don't understand about ourselves or this world. And we always want answers. I don't know if we'll ever always get all the answers. That's not what this is built for. But for me, the paranormal, it's just because I want it to be healing for the human condition as well. And just our planet, like it's okay to be who we are. And we got to find another way of being collectively, because first of all, selfishly, I feel the pain and I don't like it. And second of all, I know a lot of people feeling the pain and it's just fucking broken. Like, I don't care if there's like 1% that's happy, but I don't even believe it because no celebrity I see, I'm sorry. I just don't buy it. I don't go, that person looks happy and fulfilled. I just had, and maybe I'm wrong.
I think Tom Hanks looks happy.
He doesn't.
Yeah, they're too busy probably. They have too many people pulling.
I mean, they're definitely busy, definitely.
Definitely busy. And for me, busy does not equal happy.
Chet Hanks, his son looks happier. I invited Chet onto the podcast, haven't heard anything, but he seems like he's in the rhythm. You know, I'm just sick of like super PC, like no one's really getting to the truth. Cause when you talk to people, most people are struggling most in one way or another. And I just, at this point, I want people like Chet Hanks coming on who some people might judge. It's like, nah, he's authentic. To me, that's a more spiritual person than some of the people quoting certain things and seeming calm, but I'm like, why does that person look crazy in the eyes? I'm not buying it, you know? So
I mean, I feel like I every time I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, wow, you look insane, bro. Like,
that happens to me all the time.
Bro, you look crazy today.
I'm like, can I tone that back a little bit somehow? Like
dial down my eyeballs? How do I do that? It was the knob to dial down my eyeballs. I was gonna say balls, but it seemed weird. There's
hugely,
and I try. I just don't have the control over my face to be able to to reel it in. You know what I mean? I give it a try though.
My sister is like this. I tell my sister, I was like, you can't hide your face, and she's like, because she's got really bad poker face, right? When we're playing cards or something, she just can't hide her face at all. And you know, one of my exes, she couldn't hide her face at all either, and it was just my favorite thing in the world.
It's great. Kate yeah. actually has a very hard time hiding her emotions on her face. Like if she sees something gross at the supermarket and she has to look at it too, she can't look away from it. So she'll look at it and she'll grimace. And these people, so I'm like, yo, those people are, you know, looking right in your eyeballs while you're.
I really not with a lot of things. I can't. And I.
And it's the facial features are so Muppet-like. When I'm not. Emotions just, it's like they were created by Jim Henson. You know, it's so, yeah, it's great to see in real life.
And I'll sing little jingles out of nowhere. Because, you know, I think that's what flow is. When you're connected to the other side, it's a musical. There's a melody that's, you know, just like when you see birds all flying in unison, you tune into that cartoon like music sometimes. But I also am very sensitive and I'm sick of like hiding my facial things, movements, and my emotions for maniacs. Like I feel like there are so many people who have no problem being the way they are no matter what I think. So I'm like, well, I should just, why am I hiding my reactions to things? And some of these TV shows, some of the shots they do are so like up, like some of them are close shots on someone's face with eyes looking at you. And I have to like shield because I'm scared their soul's going to hop into my body. Like I'm just
anything
very
she sees in
sensitive.
A movie, it happens to her. If she sees somebody puke, she's going to puke.
Well, no,
if she see,
I'll get
no.
nauseous. I'll get nauseous. And if
she sees a cheeseburger, we have to go get cheeseburger. Like just for a second, she lives it. She lives whatever she
if
sees.
If I watch a movie, a horror movie, which I can't really do, based on a real entity, which most of them are, that entity is going to come into my room. People might think it's funny. Ha ha. Then it doesn't happen to you. But like, if I, because it ingrains into my soul in a certain way. And then now I'm having battles to try to keep them from entering my space. So I'm very boundaried, and some of it is Muppet like faces. Sometimes
Muppet
like
faces.
A face.
Representing the inner terror that you're feeling.
Machines at the gym. If the girl's taking up two machines at the gym at one time, my face is going to be a little
this jump out,
girl, bitch.
This is new. This is hot off the press.
Is this how we're operating?
This just happened. 11 a.m. this morning. This just happened.
Two machines.
We have no consideration for other people's
gym?
Space. Yeah,
she got the faces. She got a little bit of the like.
Maybe it made her realize.
Having like dumbbells and a barbell with you, that's all good. But two big machines, big commercial industrial machine, I get it.
Yeah, I joined a Planet Fitness because I was going to be in Ohio for a minute visiting family. So I was like, I'm going to join a Planet Fitness. And luckily I've been there for a couple months now, and I still haven't talked to one person at the gym. I don't know. Do people talk to people at the gym? I don't.
No, not.
But
really.
I didn't think so. But like, because I had
a
friend.
Friendly.
Oh,
but not
okay.
I'm an overly friendly guy.
And with dudes, because if I looked over and there was some hot babe being overly friendly, I can move like the girl from The Ring, or like maybe more like Dracula.
No, dude,
if I'm heated or triggered, be behind you in a split motherfucking second.
You didn't detect any
you
motion.
Detect any motion.
No sound. She's there.
I enter a portal of anger and jealousy over my man. And
startling.
I can pop up.
How are you two as euchre partners? Do you play euchre?
No.
Oh, do you know what euchre is?
I half know what euchre is.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna have to teach you guys euchre sometime.
I'm down.
Because you two seem like you'd probably be pretty good partners in euchre, because it's like a team game. So it's like teams of two playing against a team of two playing against another team of two.
Now, Ryan,
that's really funny though. Yeah,
is this prying too deep, or do you do the tanning? Do you
did the tan. No, it's not too deep, but oh my god, I have a funny story about that. I'm doing the $10 a month package, the cheap one location kind of thing, right? My brother, however, who convinced me that Planet Fitness was the way to go, he's a he will hit the tanning, but
he's a black card member.
Yes, he's a black card member.
Big roller, heavy roller.
Yeah, it's a heavier app on your phone. It's like the American Express credit cards were thicker. What happened is the location I signed up at has been under construction since I've been there. So they don't have tanning. They don't have, I don't know what else they even have in their saunas class. I don't know.
It's the hydro massage, which is like a water massage somehow.
Is that good? Is it any good?
Underneath you. It's fantastic. I'm not going to lie to you. And then there's the massage chair. So it's the massages and the tanning are what push you into the black
card. And it
gives
you a happy ending at the end. There's
like a cone.
It's a machine, so it's okay. And they change the black.
It's like a fleshlight on a robot arm.
Planet Fitness is really getting advanced these days.
Oh, well. So my brother does the tanning. And so he has to go to a different location to get the tanning now, not the one that was close to where he lived. And so he had a very easy experience, right? And so he goes to this new location, and there's one employee at the new location when he'll walk up and he'll be like, oh, I need to, I guess I don't know how it works. You set up an appointment and then you talk to the person or something, and then they let you back or however it works. And so he does that. And there's one employee at this new location that always says, do you have your goggles? And he goes, yeah. And then she'll say, can I see them?
Oh, she checks the goggles.
And
well,
so
I've never seen that before.
He's like, okay. And so he shows the goggles. He's just like, okay, I'll show you the goggles. Shows the goggles, goes back. Any other person there is just like, hey, come on back. You got your goggles? Yeah. Okay, good. Going back. And so then every time this particular gal is working, she says, do you have your goggles? And he says, yes. And then she'll say, can I see them? And so he had enough of this because he calls me on the phone. He's like, she's calling me a liar. That's what she's doing. She asked me if I have my goggles. I say I do. I'm a grown man.
And she's a sophomore in high school.
Yes. And then she says, can I see them? Because the subtext there is, I don't believe you. And you know how many people she's pissing off? Not just me. So I have to say something. I was like, oh my God, you got to call me right after this happens. So he goes back the next day. It happens. So he goes, so I tell her. I go, you know, I'm not trying to be, I know this is going to come off as me being a dick. And I promise I'm not trying to be a dick, but you are pissing people off because you're calling them liars. And she's like, what? And he goes, you ask me if I have my goggles. I say I do. And then you say, I need to see them. You're calling me a liar. You're calling anyone who comes up here a liar. No one here probably likes you because of that. You should know that. Either say, can I see your goggles? Is your first question, or don't ask to see the goggles at all because we're all grown ups and we can do what we want. And then she's like, well, this is Planet Fitness policy, blah, 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 blah. So now he can't tan if she's there. And
oh, just because, shit.
Well, he can, but he just like, he's like, oh, if she's there, I'm not going to have to go deal with this. Cause he went back a couple times and she was there and he would just walk up. He's like, so now I'm just walking up holding my goggles.
I thought she went, you know, over his head to corporate or something and then beat him down because he came at her. I thought she was serious. You know what I mean? Like when you say he can't tan anymore.
Yeah. Well, it turns out, and then I'm talking to him a couple of days ago, and it turns out my brother is Larry David, because now there's a donut shop he can't go to because of a similar situation with someone made his favorite donut was out. So they recommended a different donut, which he'd never had. So he tries the different donut. He realizes this different donut is the best donut he's ever had in his life. So he goes back and he asks for the different donut and they say, oh, we don't always make that, but we can make it for, we don't have them, but we can make them. Just hang on a few minutes. And so every employee there will make him these different donuts, and except one person will all, he'll say, oh, can I, do you have any of the thing? And she'll say, no, we're all out. And she doesn't even go back and look to see if
they're out. I can't believe anyone makes him the other donut. A kid working at a donut shop is going to go out of their way to make this man his favorite donut. They're amazing employees.
This is what I said. You get it.
The rest of them should be getting promotions. I don't think you should shit on the one who's not doing it. Yeah. I think that the rest of them need to be elevated.
Yes. You get it. And so he's like, what she doesn't know is I know the owner. And right. And I'm like, what, are you going to talk to the owner because she won't make you your fucking special donut? Like, are you? And that's when I had this moan. I'm like, you are Larry David. You can't help but find some kind of battle to have over the smallest minutia.
I like where he's going. I like the fronts that he's deciding to rise up with. You know, somebody has to fight the good fight. You know,
yeah, and he's out there.
Girl, she's getting out of pocket. And then this donut person, like, come on, like it'd be a great world if you did what all these other beautiful employees were doing. So I'm kind of on his level.
I'd be the one donut employee being like, we're out of the fucking donut. So like,
you're good at boundaries.
I'm very good at boundaries, just because especially when you tap into the paranormal, you have to actually. And humans, especially like people who are scared of ghosts and the paranormal, I'm like, have you met 90% of the population of humanity? Like, I'm not that scared because I had to create boundaries for those gifts and for just people in general. But which I do want to ask this question now. I have to ask this. What is your knowledge or experience with aliens, shapeshifters, skinwalkers, which I think are shapeshifters?
I have to jump in really quick before that question. Do you know what the donut is? Do you know the description of the donut?
It's, oh God, you know those, you know the pecan rolls?
Yeah.
Or what's it called? It's got like the icing and then the nuts on top. Ooh. Well, anyway, that was his, whatever it's got,
that
it's
was
got like
the light before this donut.
It's got like, well, it's whatever the donut before. What was it called? It's got the, like that light brown icing cream, and then it's got the nuts sprinkled on top of it. But it's not like a roll necessarily. It's like a donut, right? What's it called? Anyway, they were out of that, so they suggested this other little donut that goes on top of a bun. So it's like a mini donut of some kind that goes on top of a bun. of some kind.
And now he just can't get enough. And now it's like, yo, been, whatever that mini donut on the bun,
yeah, whatever it is,
shit. He's like,
whatever it is, for me. It has taken over his life.
He called, and they're he like, do the other customers have to wait like behind while the other while the kid is in the back?
I don't know. That's donut? A good question. And the because
I
want
to know
cause...
about the other customers here, like how much time this takes for this poor high school kid to make fresh donuts. I've never seen them make. I didn't know they could make fresh donuts. Like
I didn't either.
I thought I it was either. Done in the morning, and like that's what they have.
No, he will wait. He will wait for them because when he called me the other day, I had no idea any of this was happening. I go, so how you doing? He goes, third day in a row, I'm coming home with no donuts. And I'm like, what does this sentence mean? And what story is happening? It was like
really
7 o'clock at night.
This story with us, Ryan.
Yeah, it was like 7 p.m. when this conversation happened. He's like, I'm going home again with no donuts because blah, blah, blah. You know, and I'm just like, I'll find out what the donut is. I got to find out.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Okay, but, so let's get into the alien skinwalker.
Okay, yeah,
sorry I had to do that.
Just because I'm sure worries. We'll talk about this for a bit because there's so many different directions. I would like to say I am familiar and connect to Arcturians, Lyrians, Pleiadians. So those are the groups I've had the most connection to myself. And they're more of the enlightened ones because I do know that there are other aliens.
I like how you said that. I like how you said
the enlightened. Because I don't really fuck with like, I don't think so. Maybe I do, but I don't think currently that I fuck with really angry, hostile.
Like low
aliens.
Vibration.
Like,
some
that's
people
not,
will call them. Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm with the ones that see what's going on Earth, want to help raise the vibration, not have the Earth die, you know, some important things.
I can make friends with like
not have us nuke ourselves to death. So that's why they're senior nuclear warheads. They're like, little kids.
I feel like I'd do great with the ones who want to take everything over.
No.
But they need a few ones who are like, yes, master. And if I get a job working for them.
You'd be the patsy?
Yes. I feel like if those aliens came, I'd rise the ranks quick.
You would flop over to the other side
so fast.
Horrible.
Like, yes,
you're a suck
master.
Up. You just be a suck up? Is that what we used to call it? Yes. Like, oh, what a suck up.
That's my whole plan if aliens come. If a certain kind comes, that's my whole
yeah,
plan.
A certain kind. Yeah.
I'll be like, no.
I'm going to be like, listen to them.
You don't get it. They're doing this for your own good.
These little laser whips or whatever. You know, like,
no.
I feel
you fall in the line so fast.
Life. For the ones who fall in line fast, I feel like it'd be a pretty good life.
I think we call you I think the term is bootlicker, right? Like you would be.
I'd be hated by my race.
Yeah.
Yes.
But guess what? You'd survive. Right? Exactly. You'd survive until they were done with you.
Exactly.
That's why I don't interact with those kinds of aliens.
You don't want to give him the opportunity. To fulfill his destiny as being
a bad guy,
a villain. It's, you know, it's interesting. I haven't had any direct, like physical interaction, I would call it, with aliens. I do believe I've had interaction through ITC devices, which is, these ghost box, spirit boxes, things like that, through CE5, a variation of CE5.
Yeah. Is that EVP? Is that the same thing?
Well, EVP would fall under that umbrella, yeah. Okay. But EVP is kind of like record, go back and listen. These are in the moment live boxes that are playing like radio signals backwards, cycling through stations real fast, like shoo, 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 shoo. And then you hope to get like, you know, real sentences that are very specific in nature that, you know, a radio that's super fast scanning and then playing back audio backwards as it scans through the radio stations shouldn't say, like, if I say, can you tell me my full name? You should not be able to hear through the spirit box, Ryan Singer, right? In that moment. So it becomes compelling if you get answers like that. But I did CE5 at which is Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, which is like a meditation type outreach program to initiate contact with extraterrestrials that Dr. Stephen Greer has spearheaded for years. And so I did a variation of that inside a haunted school a couple of years ago in Ohio, under the basis or with the idea that consciousness is the connection between all of us. So it doesn't matter what you do. You can use alien stuff to try to contact Bigfoot. You can use ghost stuff to try to contact aliens, things like that. Right. So I used a typical, a technique you would use to interact with extraterrestrials through intention and to initiate contact. I use that in a haunted school that's super haunted to see what would happen. And we end up getting pulled outside. And over the course of a couple of years, that investigation has continued with return visits. And actually, I even went to Mount Shasta in late spring of 2023 with a friend of mine and to continue the investigation because I love Mount Shasta. It's just a hyper energetic spiritual place. And we continue the conversation.
You got pulled outside, which means.
So we got, well, not like physically like yanked outside, but like where I was like, oh, we got to get outside. And then through the devices, we were hearing the, east kept coming through. So I run outside. There's one star in the sky that night and it's like 89.6 degrees on my phone compass, due east. It's the only star you can see because of the clouds. I have a laser pointer, one of those illegal ones. They're too powerful, so you're not supposed to have them, that you can use for CE5. So if there's like a UFO out in the sky, you can circle it for people to see this green laser. And so I start to, I just start hitting the star with the laser. And we're on CBs or we're on walkie-talkies. So there's two investigators inside the school with something called a gateway device, which Eric Connor, of also known as Epic Paranormal, he created this device. It's bonkers. It's like a spirit box on crack. And every time I'm bopping that star with the laser, east comes through. And so then we hear other things like, I'm in the field, come find me. And there's a field behind the school. And this was not long after my bad experience that I had in Florida. And so I'm terrified. And I'm like, I don't want to be going into the woods right now. I'm not going into the woods. And so
we're watching Harry Potter and lots of things happen when they go in those dark woods.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. It's always in the woods. And like when I was like, I don't watch horror movies either. Like it takes a lot for me to watch a scary movie because I just, ever since I was a kid, I wasn't even allowed to watch the Thriller music video because I would have nightmares if I did. And and so I watched it and I had nightmares, but so I've always just kind of I'm not drawn to that. I don't like to be scared.
Right.
Because I scare very easily, but yeah. At least in movies and things like that. But so this investigation goes to, I keep going back to Post Town. After reviewing some footage and other things like that, we get into this, I bring up a star map and I'm looking at all the date and the specific time of what star that I'm trying to figure out what star it was that was in the sky that night. This is like 6 months later. And I think it's the Procyon star. So I schedule another trip back to, and there's a little bit of UFO and alien lore around the Procyon star system. Not a ton. I was hoping it would be serious, but I didn't think it was. So we go back to the school. It's just me and a buddy of mine, and he's got all these great devices, like a Frank's box, which is like the original like spirit box type thing that was ever made. And I didn't realize this, but the Frank's box, which is one of the most popular ghost boxes of all time, was initially made by this guy, Frank, to contact aliens. And I didn't realize that at the time. So we've got all these devices out and I have very specific questions because I'm trying to move the conversation forward, right? Like, I think I know that we're talking with an alien intelligence from a specific area. So now I've got questions about that and hopefully we can find out who and, exactly where. So I start asking all these questions about Procyon and none of the devices are doing anything. So then I'm just like, okay, fuck it. I mean, are you from the Sirius star system? And then all the devices just start going bonkers. And they go bonkers for a period of time during a paranormal investigation, which is noteworthy because usually a device will go off for a few seconds, maybe if you're lucky. This was going off. This was sustained activity on these devices, lighting up, beeping, whatever, for upwards of minutes straight. It was crazy. And so then later we go to a different part of the school with different devices, and there's all these voices coming through this box. And one of them is really deep and scary, but it's like, right. And we're like, for whatever reason, this one's coming through the loudest and it seems like it's the boss. Right. And there's all these other ones that are like kind of high pitched or other ones like, And so we're just like, so at one point I go, can we just have the deep voice guy be the only one talking, please. And all the other voices stopped. It was weird, right? And, you know, it's like, I don't know, 1:30 in the morning, it's pitch black in there, and we're just, you know, it's that scary kind of thing we were talking about at the very beginning, right? And so I go, who are you? And then we just, and Matthew Jackson, who's, in my opinion, the best, and like one of the best paranormal investigators out there. It's me and him with all of his toys. And the voice, I say, who are you? And it just says, God, right? Which is a one syllable noise, which could be, you know, those don't hold a lot of weight with me usually, when it, because any one syllable could sound like any one syllable thing, like, no, yes, God, yeah. You know what I mean? So we're just like, you hear God, I heard God, you heard God, you heard God. And so we're like, we heard God. And it's still only the deep voice talking. And then I go, well, what is your name? And then it says, Ra, which is also a one syllable word, right? So it's like anything could sound like Ra maybe, but we get God and then we get Ra, which is like, holy shit, we talking to Ra right now? Like, this is crazy. And so I go, well, where are you from? And then we both heard the cosmos. So we got God, Ra, the cosmos. And we're just like, holy shit, dude, we're talking to Ra, whatever, you know. And then, you know, there's people in the paranormal world who think it's all demons pretending to be things, blah, 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 blah. We don't have to get into that. But so
cut to thoughts.
But cut to months later, we go to Mount Shasta. And it's me and my buddy Eric and my buddy Alex, who's there filming in the middle of the mountain in like 15 foot snow. There's just the three of us. We find this perfect circle of trees out in the mountains. It's like untouched. It looks like a giant ceremonial circle. So we're just like, oh my God, this is perfect. So we get out there and Eric has this little spirit box, which just scans through the radio stations backwards real fast. Like, and so we're in this circle and we're not getting anything. And I'm a little disappointed because I was like, oh man, I was drawn to Mount Shasta specifically for this, to think that the conversation would really take another step forward. Like, we're going to find out information now. Like, is there a message? Like, are we supposed to be doing something? Or what do you want us to know? These things like that. And so I say the words, something along the line of, you know what? I don't know what happened. I feel like this conversation, which has been ongoing for a year and a half or whatever, it's been really great. And I feel like something has stopped our communication. Like, I feel like there's a block. What's happening? Why? What's stopping us from having our communication? And then all of a sudden, Eric's spirit box, which has never done this before, stops on one station and starts playing Space Oddity by David Bowie. This is Ground Control to Major Tom. You know, a song about people on Earth being unable to communicate with people in space, and someone in space being unable to communicate with someone on Earth, a communication breakdown, right? Wondering, where are you? Can we, you know, I hope we can connect again. And so we hear this right after I say what is it? What happened? What stopped our communication? Why is there a breakdown? The spirit box essentially breaks, stops on Space Oddity by David Bowie. And we're just like in the middle of the snow. It's like, I don't know, 3 p.m. And we're just like, oh, shit. And we just start dancing in the snow in this giant circle of trees to Space Oddity. It plays the whole song.
That's awesome.
And then it goes back to scanning.
I mean, all that makes sense to me, truly. You know, I got to, before you said God, I kind of felt, you know, I was like, God. But obviously you always, well, maybe you don't always hope for God, but I feel like.
Yeah, I didn't know who we were going to get what name or anything. But the idea that, now someone who's a hardcore skeptic might say, well, this isn't evidence of the paranormal, of communication with an alien or a God or a spirit or an entity. And I would say, yes, I can't present, even though we have this on film, I can't present this in a laboratory and be like, this is evidence of the existence of Ra or whatever. But when you look at the circumstantial evidence presented by the experience, you're going to tell me that right after I say, why can't we talk? And then Space Oddity the device breaks, stops on a song, Space Oddity, which is exactly about that, from space to Earth and Earth to space. You're telling me that's not evidence of communication, of direct intelligent communication with some other un, you know, maybe interdimensional or maybe, you know, extraterrestrial intelligence.
I mean, then for it to unbreak at the end.
And then it goes back to work.
It wasn't broken.
Yeah. It's one of those moments where you just, you know, the more time that goes by, and because it hasn't even been a full year since that experience happened, but, and I'm so far behind on other projects, I haven't even been able to like really review the footage. But the more time goes by, and the more times I tell that story, which has only been probably a handful of times, but the more profound it gets for me, the more I realize, like, oh my God, this was a direct communication with what I believe to be extraterrestrial intelligence. And even though I've never had physical contact with an extraterrestrial or an alien, I 100% believe that I have been in contact with them. So that's a really long story to answer your question about what, but I've had direct contact with someone who could shapeshift physically on multiple occasions. A woman I dated many, many years ago, and which kind of kickstarted my whole paranormal journey. But
I do want to say that the long answer to that is probably the best we could have hoped for. You have like a pretty good answer for a pretty hard question to answer. So I appreciate it, man. Yeah, I think we both do.
And let me ask, did you witness this woman shapeshift?
I never saw like the change, like,
okay,
like staring at her as herself morph into another person. I saw the results on two different occasions. One time when I was laying next to her in bed, and another time when I went over to her apartment, when she said it had happened and she was still in that other form of just being pregnant. I at one point had an interview with her on years after I launched my podcast. Because I told her I wanted to tell the story, and I was starting a paranormal podcast because of it, because I want to find answers and not feel crazy. And I got her blessing and all that stuff. And then years later, we hadn't seen each other for a decade. And it just so happened to be that I was in a part of the country where she currently was, and it worked out. And I went over to her house and stayed the night, and we caught up. And while I was there, I just wanted to talk to her about the experiences, because a strange thing that happens in the world of the paranormal way too often is people will have a shared experience and they don't talk about it, which people might think sounds crazy, but it's just the reality. Like, you experience something extremely intense and unexplainable together. And then in the moment, obviously you're like, what the, you know, or whatever. But after that moment passes, oftentimes we don't talk about it. We don't try to integrate the experience. We don't discuss the unexplainable with each other that we witnessed. And, you know, if you go too long, and if you've only experienced that, if you experience something by yourself, like a spontaneous paranormal experience, or and you're alone, it, you know, that's another level of like, am I, after 10 years, like, am I crazy? Like, did that really happen? Right. Cause of the world. But then if you're lucky, you experience it with at least one other person. And if you're really lucky, you can talk to them about it eventually. Or, you know, and if you're really, really lucky, there's a bunch of people who all witness it, and people are going to talk about it. But so after 10 years, I was like, we got to talk about this. Cause I mean, I feel crazy. I mean, I started a podcast about it. Am I a crazy person? Did I like make all this? So like all these people think that I have had these experiences, and I did this woman who could shapeshift. I'm like, do I have to like make an episode about I made it up? Like, I'm a liar. I'm an idiot. Like, holy shit. Like, I'm an insane person. Sorry, everybody. Like, I need to know, like, this is like, it, I'm just out here by myself with this. And cause I've been called crazy enough times to, you know, I'm not an impenetrable fortress of belief over here all the time. Right. So it gets to you after a while. And so I'm like, am I crazy? And so she's like, yeah, we can talk about it. So we start talking about it, and it's as I remember. And then she goes, you know what? Fuck it. Go get your microphones if you have them. And I never thought she would ever be on the podcast. I didn't think that would ever happen. I didn't even want to ask her. And so I was like, if you're serious, I will go grab them. So we did the interview, and then cut to, it's the weirdest sequence of events. I do my buddies, Bubs and Mikey. They got this podcast called The Strange Road. It's like a live stream once a week, and then they post it as a podcast. I go on there, you know, and we have a great time. They make a TikTok clip that's just a small little segment of the story. And it next thing you know, it's going bonkers. It's going viral. And, you know, and it's just like, there's like 1,000 comments on it. Like, who is she? We got to find her, blah, blah, you know, or whatever. It's like, ooh, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, this is, I've never said her name. I will never let anyone know who she is. That's part of the deal. And ironically, like right before that happened, like a day before that happened, she messaged me and was like, and I hadn't heard from her in years again. And in fact, I was trying to get a hold of her about 5 months ago and I couldn't find her anywhere. And so I just wanted to check in and say hi and see how she was. And so then out of the blue, right before that TikTok clip went crazy, she messaged me asking me to take down the interview.
Okay.
So, because on the show, I tell everybody, you know, and I've been telling everybody for, because I think that episode had been up for, I think, 6 years. The interview had been up for 6 years. One of the most popular episodes. But, and I would tell anybody who listened, like, you can think I'm crazy all you want, but you can listen to me talk to her and you can hear the story from her own mouth and my mouth together. It's on my podcast. And I would, you know, and so I always liked being able to have that for people to listen to. And so she asked me to take it down. She goes, I'm worried that, you know, at some point someone might find me. So I was like, no questions asked. You know, I took it down. And it was a communication that was troubling to some degree just because of the way it was worded about certain things, like, hey, can you please take this down? Please don't respond to this message. I can't answer it. It might not be safe for me, things like that. It's where shit starts to get really serious. And I'm not in the game for that. That's not why I podcast, to be like, you know, I've never wanted to be a podcaster who was like, you know what? The government contacted me and they said, I'm getting too close to the truth. It's like, I'm not Mulder over here. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to like,
we're Scully and Mulder.
Yeah.
You guys, that's what we're trying to be.
You have that. I'm not over here trying to be like,
I will get abducted every investigation I go on. And yet I am ready to explore this stuff. And I mean, ultimately it's what led me to reach out. You know, we have a couple mutual friends, one of them being Jennifer, and
she's great. I love Jennifer.
And I feel like a lot of the messages that's been coming through for me through animal symbolism, the astral realm, is that a lot of us who've been playing in the paranormal, whether it's with comedy or not, we're going to need each other. Not everyone, you know, but a lot of us were pieces in the puzzle to these things. And I've been kind of trying to go at it alone-ish for a bit. And I just keep getting messages that that's not how, something is shifting in a lot of us because we want the truth. But yeah, I don't want government calls. I already have anxiety.
I don't need that in my life.
But I'm
that.
Also...
I'd feel like kind of boss if we were getting government calls. I'm like, no, somebody's listening to the podcast at least.
One step closer to right? being the, you know, like you just get like, okay, we're getting access to
if
these aliens
worried,
that I can work for.
If they're worried, that means we have somewhat of an audience. You know what I mean? If we're getting
Well, that's true. Yeah. And, you know, I'm very good at keeping other people's secrets, if that makes sense. I'm not very good at keeping my own. I have a hard time keeping my own secrets. I just blab. But when it comes to other people's secrets, I'm like a vault, right? Not even usually, pretty much every time, but, like, I don't even remember most of them. And I think it's because I don't remember most of them after like a year. I'm like, what secret did you do? Oh, I don't remember that. Unless
now
it was
Ryan,
like,
but real
someone,
quick,
but I don't know anyone who did that.
How strong is the vault? If you're about to be tortured, no, I'm saying if we go movie style here and you're tortured, how long does the vault last?
Because
mine's a vault too, unless shit gets real.
Well, you even light a cigarette in front of me and act like you might burn me with it, most of it's going to come out.
Like, just if you have sunglasses,
you didn't even
on,
say
you're
going to burn it. Like, you're just smoking a cigarette. You're lighting a cigarette because you need one. I think you're getting ready to torture me with it. I'm telling you everything except for maybe a couple things, right? You could be eating mozzarella string cheese stick. Like, right? Like, let's say I'm in a chair. My hands are bound someone is hungry, so they get a string cheese mozzarella stick. They open that up and I'm just like, I don't know what you're going to do with that, but here's the information you're looking for. Like, and they're like, I was just having a snack, but thank you.
I worry I would fold. I mean, listen, the thing is, we're good people still, Ryan, because I don't think this would ever happen. But if it did, I could see myself folding pretty quick and, you know, giving you the secrets. And I don't have any good secrets. People don't trust me with good secrets. I don't look like a good secret.
Here are the real secrets that we have to keep if we're going to get real about it. You have to pretend, I'm already scared of this. You have to pretend you don't hear voices, because some of us who are very sensitive and you have medium skills, so you have to kind of keep secrets in that way to not have like certain eyes on you. Like, it's so funny because religion's accepted and getting woo in that way and talking about angels and here's the body of Christ, eat up. Like, that's not exactly what they say, but you know what I mean.
Last time I went,
like, we're supposed to be like, oh, totally normal, but then to say, no, actually I do hear voices and I do connect to the other side. So I feel like some of the biggest secrets would just be like my gifts. Like, I feel like if someone showed up, I'd spill my own secrets of what I experience and see when what I think Earth is, and all. I would love it. I'd be like, finally, someone to listen to all my.
Like, please don't do anything to us. She hears voices. She talks to entities. I'd spill the beans.
They're torturing me. I would torture them. I'd be like, and then the Lyrans came through, and I was like, wait, why is the like Tigris one coming through? Why didn't this one? Like, they would be so like, you know what? This isn't even fun. She's using this as therapy too much. Mm. Like, I'd be. Mm. Like, oh, you want to know everything? Finally, you know, someone to listen and not think, I guess they could think you're crazy. But if it was,
well, I mean, they kind of come into it believing you already in advance.
Then I'd be like, all right, you know, not if they're going to come and like, I don't know. I just feel like a lot of us have superpowers as well that are, you know, our DNA is activating. So I'm excited for that world. So like, I don't want any questioning until my superpowers are fully in, because I'm not going to any kind of like weird. I would do so poorly in any kind of prison. Mm. I'm already in prison just being on Earth. Like, I find the density too much. I have a lot of complaints. I tell God and Goddess, the universe, a lot about these complaints. But yeah, no, I would love to spill a lot of beans if I was in that position, if I knew I wasn't going to get hurt. And if I wasn't gonna get hurt, just like kill me fast too. Like, I'm not even, I believe in the other side.
No, that's not part of it. They're not threatening.
Don't torture me. Like, if you're gonna kill me, let my spirit.
I don't think you can negotiate that. I don't think you can say like how.
You don't really have a lot of leverage in the moment. To like,
they don't get any information if they do that. You know, that's not, that goes against what those, the goons are coming.
I don't want anyone coming for me. I just want, I want eventually for us to get invited to your paranormal explorations. I don't know, that they sound actually very hard and grueling.
They sound so scary.
But this is like what I've been having visions of and have written stuff up for. And I just feel like, all this stuff's happening. We've got solar flares 2024. That's not supposed to be an exciting thing, but at all. It could like cripple the world's internet for 2 weeks. I heard like they're like one of the flare, because one of the flares hit one of the poles and they had like, they blacked out for like 2 days, like no radio signals. So they're saying if we do get hit with a strong flare, the energy grid could go and stuff.
And they're saying the max,
which doesn't excite me. But I just feel like I'm ready for a lot of us to break free and for more magic to come through and just a more playful realm. Like, it's not supposed to be so hard all the time. Like, what the fuck? So, you know.
And like we made up the rules too. I mean, we collectively have agreed to play by all these rules that are bullshit and they're not fun for the most part for most people. And yeah, and it's like we all just kind of keep going along with it to a certain degree, right? And I mean, I think that's the hard part to swallow sometimes. I have this joke I've been doing in my act where, you know, I talk about I'm tired of being sleep shamed, and because I'm 47 years old, and I'm lucky if I'm up before 11 a.m. and people are like, oh, you need to wake up earlier. I'm like, no, I don't. That's where you're wrong. And they're like, well, why would you sleep in like that? And it's like, the answer is simple. It's because I'm winning. I'm like, I'm winning this.
Hell game. Yes.
This is a game that we're all playing. And I'm like, I'm somehow I figured out I got really lucky, but I'm winning it. Right. And I'm winning my own version of this game. And everyone, all they have to do is decide that they want to win now. And that's they awesome. Can. But
you get sleep shamed, Ryan, as well.
Yeah. I mean,
I get 10 hours a night.
That's a
I'm
solid
like a newborn
night.
Baby. I need 12.
Or else I'm a mess.
But I need sleep or I just don't function.
I'm a fucking toddler. And if I don't get sleep, I'm like a toddler who didn't get sleep. You don't want to be around. I'm a big person.
You're a nightmare. You're just a nightmare.
You don't want a giant toddler running around with no sleep.
Oh, you need sleep to function. And that's not something I can ever give up. Like we sometimes go to bed at 6. That's
you shouldn't tell
so
them that. You
nerdy. And it's hard to do also with comedy. Obviously,
that's
comedy
one of our secrets.
Comedy show nights, I got to stretch it. But I love sleep, especially because I got to tell our secret, Blue Lotus Tea has really allowed for more astral realm. It's more astral realm travel, lucid dreaming. You're having your own stuff.
I just started getting it. I was reading stuff on it. I just started getting it a few weeks ago. And like, it definitely, you're dreaming the whole time now. And you're kind of remembering the dreams. Like you're when you're asleep, you're over there, completely over there. You're not here anymore.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So that when you get back, you're so well rested because you went so far, you went on vacation.
And
that's why I like it so much.
Sorry to interrupt, but like I'm able now to carry the information and images from the astral realm into this realm. Like before it would be fleeting more and I couldn't remember the spaces I kept visiting over, because I keep visiting some of these very ancient spaces and architecture. So now I can bring the memories more clearly through here. But we'll wrap it up.
Blue Lotus, if you're interested in advertising, you can give us a call. Okay, Wolf at Instagram. No, go ahead.
That's not even okay. So
that's not even the one.
Well, we could talk to you for a long time, Ryan.
We'll have to do another one because I do have to.
Yes, we'll wrap this up. So Ryan, first of all, thank you for joining us.
This has been a ton of fun.
Hopefully, we'll do more because there's so much. I want to live in the world of paranormal because that is where I live. So, where can people find you?
People can find me at ryansingercomedy.com if people still go to websites. I'm also on, you know, Instagram, like Rising, R-Y-S-I-N-G. I got a podcast, Me and Paranormal You is the name of it. We're coming up on our 10-year anniversary, end of January. So that's exciting. There's like 730 episodes. I don't know how many exactly, but there's a ton, you know. The Shapeshifter one is gone, unfortunately, but you can listen to me smoke DMT for the first time. And we recorded that. That was years ago. So yes. My buddy Shane Moss. So that's a very popular one.
What is it called? Like, will that come up right away if we go?
It's called the DMT Couch Sessions is what I called it.
Okay. Because
it's just me and Shane Moss on a couch smoking DMT. I was terrified before that happened. But, I was like, it was one of those things where if I'm like, truly deeply afraid of something, I know eventually I have to do it. And sometimes it just takes me a while, but I'll get it there. But that's why I have to go back to Florida. And over the last 4 years, I've been making short little visits and to go back to the place where I got scared. We didn't even really talk about that. So maybe next time.
I wanted to ask you, and then it slipped away as we
kept
talking.
When are you going?
I'm going on the end of January to early February when I'll be going. So, going with a bunch of fellow investigators. Many of them were there on the first trip and a couple who have never been there before. So it's going to be really exciting. And I think the main purpose of the trip is to try to find some answers for the homeowners. And then
maybe
secondary
when you
is
come
try
back,
to capture.
Maybe after you come back, we can do a whole episode on what's going on there.
What happened last time?
And, yeah. I mean, it's got everything you could ever want. It's got UFOs, orbs, portals, creatures, ghosts, spirits.
I want to go so bad.
It's got, many a man who thought he was tough with a gun has left that place with their tail between their legs.
I don't even care if I shit myself on camera because there is a high possibility. I will let it be filmed. Like, I just feel these beings, they're real, they're out there. And I've been waiting for aliens to land like on our small front yard. And because that hasn't happened, now I feel like I have to make
some travel plans to know where, because
I feel the energy centers, I feel the grid around the globe as well. But now I feel like if you'll come with me, I want to go see, even if I get possessed for 5 minutes, like I just want to do it. You know, I'm just ready to play in the world, even if I'm the most chicken shit person when it happens. Like,
well, I'm sure, you know, I don't know a ton off the top of my head, but knowing how old everything is in many regards in your area, you're probably right next door to some really bonkers stuff. And I know that for, you know, as close as I can get to a fact as without knowing it. You know,
there must be.
I mean, well, you're not that far from like Gettysburg, all kinds of things. There's some other really bonkers stuff in that region as well. You know, and I think you can kind of contact it anywhere.
True.
It's just a question of, you know, I try my damnedest to have really clear intent beforehand. And I put up boundaries the best I can, because I don't ever want to smell sulfur. I don't need that kind of like,
what does that mean?
Like demonic energy.
We didn't get into demons either.
The real dark stuff. But, you know, I'm not a demon hunter. I'm not, you know,
that's a dumb idea anyway. Like it's a real, cause also, and then we'll let you go. Demons in my perspective are also not what everyone thinks. And once again, we have the light and the dark within us like a battery. So I think, I'm not saying all demons are misunderstood. Maybe some demons are just a straight up demon, like, you know, run from it Gandalf style, even though he fell into the pit, but whatever. But like, anyway,
no, Gandalf fought it.
He did fight it. But I'm just saying, I don't think the dark is exactly what most people think it is anyway.
Yeah. Gandalf wouldn't have become Gandalf the White if he ran, baby. He'd still be Gandalf Graham. Sure. I mean, I just have to throw that in.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Gandalf's a great example of how we got to do it, even when we don't want to.
And that you can smoke sometimes, because if you can smoke out of a pipe, why the hell can't anyone else?
Right.
That was a really bad message to any kids.
Well, I guess it depends.
I don't think
we
have many child listeners anyway.
Okay. We'll let you go. Obviously, we need to have you on when you're back, and we can talk more about demon stuff, but we'll be curious what goes down and what happened the first time anyway.
And yeah, I'll be curious to see what happens as well.
On one of these things.
I think it's going to be a different experience for me this time. The first trip was incredible in so many ways. And this trip will also be incredible. Mostly because of the people who live there are such incredible people. And Carolyn specifically has incredible PK abilities that are, there's a great book called PK Man by Dr. Jeffrey Mishlove about this guy, Ted Owens, who was studied by the government, studied by Dr. Jeffrey Mishlove in the parapsychology lab. And Ted Owens had incredible PK abilities to the point where, I don't want to spoil the story if anyone listening wants to read it, but there's parts of it where you're just like, whoa, bro, that's not cool. Like, but in a much more intense than me saying, whoa, bro, that's not cool. I mean, we're talking about really, you know, really blurring the lines between what is morally acceptable to do with a person's power and the effect it has caused other people and whether or not they're able to keep their life anymore. So, I mean, it's really intense, but it's a fascinating story about Ted, but it's also, very emblematic of what, Carolyn experiences power-wise. And to me, she's one of the greatest mysteries in the world, but she's also one of the most incredible people. And and I just wonder, like, oh, if I was so capable, would I be so graceful in the way I live my life and the way I treat other people and the way I, you know, put other people first all the time, and, you know, the deep empathy that, you know, she's fostered in her life. And it's just a real she's a real great example. And there's other examples too, like Chris Bledsoe from UFO of God and his family, which is one of the most incredible books I've ever read. But there's these people having these incredible experiences. And we didn't even get to talk about NDEs, near-death experiences, because I've got all kinds of crazy synchronicities with that happening in my life with people I know. And I've got all kinds of weird theories about that as well. But so I think we can put that on. I just wanted to bring that up so we maybe make sure we put a pin in that for later as well.
Ryan, but, was the previous Florida trip televised, recorded?
We filmed it. It wasn't my expedition. I wasn't in charge. I was just brought in. And with the idea that it would be a documentary, or that it would at least be the beginning of a documentary. And unfortunately, there was things that happened that kind of made it not so. A lot of the footage is unusable. There is some footage from it. Although some footage, I have all the footage currently, because I kind of took over that end of the project. But it's just so frustrating because of the trickster nature of the paranormal. There is certain footage that's missing now that I've seen it already on a computer, and now it's gone. And I don't know if we'll ever find it, but it's one of these things where it's just like,
yeah,
oh, of course. And you just have to accept that as being part of the paranormal. And, you know, technical failures at the worst possible moments are just, they're part of the phenomena, and there's nothing we can do about it except laugh and understand, yeah. Like, hey, good one. You got me.
I've definitely accidentally fried technology. There have been times, I don't know if I told you this or not, but I think I have. There have been times where my emotions get so overheated that things around me do.
You should keep, I'll tell you what Carolyn and Bill do at their house. They keep those little rubber erasers.
Really?
On top of all the thermostats and other places. So okay. She doesn't ever have to touch the microwave or the fridge, or not the fridge, wow. But, or the thermostat. And because she's fried microwaves, fridges, air conditioning.
Oh, okay. Units.
So like if you do think you might continue to experience such a thing, I would recommend just picking up some of those cheap little erasers and just put them right on top of the thermostat. And just always use that, especially if you're in a mood or you're feeling it.
Usually,
you know what I mean?
Very triggered, and my whole system overheats. I've noticed things go, and I try not to say it because then like if you broke something, it's easier to be like, I don't know how this. Because then you're like, paying for all of it. Oh, right.
Expensive medical equipment.
What? Yeah.
Oh, you're just now like making a list in your mind. Like, oh.
That's why I really love these solar flares, because, you know, I've embraced my light and my dark, and I'm not happy with certain things. So, you know, I feel like, I think it's fun to work with it. I'll get some rubber erasers. I definitely don't like to misuse powers, but I would love to send some spiritual laser beams right into any pedophile's asshole. I don't care. Wow. If you're a pedophile, like spiritual laser beams, solar flare energy right into the butthole.
For you want to harness these powers for good.
Yeah, and that's for, and I don't care.
You really shifted the topic.
Well,
here.
I'm just saying, he was saying if you have powers, you know, and I believe I do have certain ones. I'm powerless in other ways. I'm not like there are things that, you know, but I do not feel bad about wishing that on you know, because like some things should not be continuing on this earth plane, these cycles. So if I do have powers, I will totally be continuing to send them at certain powerful pedophiles. Like,
well, if
Epstein's, if I get a government call
up, we'll know what happened.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting 2024. I'm ready for it. The year of the solar flares.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to have to look more into that and wrap my brain around the solar flare thing, because I've been kind of sleeping on it, but okay. But this has been fun, and
thanks
so much for coming.
And
very entertaining. Some stuff we have to look into now.
Yeah, this was, you guys are great, and I'll have to teach you euchre as well. So okay, cool. Well, thanks.